Thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Kim Beckman and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, July 26, 2020. At Emmanuel Lutheran Church, we welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. In this time of social isolation, you can join our online Zoom services every Sunday morning from your computer or your smart device at 10:30 a.m. Find the link to our service at emmanuelevanston.org/events. And now here's this week's sermon from our interim pastor, Kim Beckman.
Grace to you and peace from God and from our Savior, who is Jesus, the Christ. Amen. The miracle hidden in these parables is this. God wants us to get it. God wants us to get the good news of life with God beyond our understanding, too big to grasp, too mysterious to comprehend, but still, God wants us to get it. God isn't going to stop trying to find ways to reveal the kingdom of God to us, always reaching out to expand and deepen our embrace of God's loving purpose. God isn't going to let a global pandemic, for instance, separate us from God's love, from God's getting through, from God's love for the world. God finds a way. When the law and the prophets alone didn't get through to us, God sent Jesus, the movie. God teaching and healing and calling out injustice, God in human form to walk and talk it out with us, to show us God's way and rule lived out in the broader shape of our human reality. If Jesus were in preaching class today, his rapid-fire collection here of pithy stories would get critiqued by the professor as grapeshot, our technical preaching term for throwing out a whole bunch of stuff and hoping that something in there hits somebody as some good news. But that's what exactly Jesus is doing, I think. Because not only is the reign of God bigger and wilder than anything that we ever imagined, but it's not any one thing either. It doesn't come to us in any one specific time-bound way. God wants us to get it, but in a way that we're never, ever going to box God in exactly either, and that God's going to be able to be timely for us. We're not going to be able to say it's just or only this, always just or only this. We're always going to be newly discovering God's will and God's ways. So we get these twin parables about seemingly opposite things that God's rule is supposedly like. It's the treasure that you stumble upon without even looking for it at all. And it's like that thing that you've been diligently searching for patiently. Those are two really different ways to come upon the treasure of God. But in both cases, the result Jesus says is the same. The value of life with God is so apparent that the stumbling day laborer and the discerning business owner alike go with joy to give everything, whatever it is they have, to possess it together, each one having enough. The reign and rule of God comes among us when we go looking for it, and it also comes to find us, both. Yes. And being part of it is always worth the investment. It's worth it all. It's worth everything. It is everything. Is that what any of you need to hear today? The reign of God is big and it's powerful, but small and nurturing at the same time. It's anti-empire. It does grow exponentially with a fantastic yield. but not into a people-crushing, soul-crushing, high-powered organization that caters to the elite and the privileged up there on the top. It's not that kind of a kingdom. The mustard seed thing, for instance. You can almost hear Jesus' disciples panting with eagerness for the kingdom as they hear, life in God's rule is like the little seed, the tiniest of seeds, really, that grows into, and here the disciples might have expected, the legendary cedars of Lebanon, the tall redwood trees, the biggest trees alive, or at least the shedding branches of a righteous oak. See, this is what they're needing to hear. They think they are poor and oppressed, and they are seriously beleaguered people. They are in occupied country, and they are taxed absolutely to death by Rome, a mighty empire getting richer and richer while the poor get poorer. And this is how they imagine getting over. They are daily being harassed, physically and mentally, by the Roman soldiers and the threat of imprisonment. They press in more and more eagerly on Jesus for his good news of the kingdom of God. And the tiny mustard seed they hear, tell us, Jesus, tell us, becomes a glorious shrubbery. A shrub, Jesus? You're telling me that the kingdom of God is going to grow into a bush for me? Well, you know, a small tree really qualifies Jesus. But they might have asked him, how is a small tree going to crush Rome, give us victory over the evil empire? Well, the rule of God isn't so worried about beating the snot out of Rome, so much as it's interested in growing instead a human-sized community attuned to the scale and the nurturing needs of its smallest one and its most vulnerable creatures, Jesus offers. Look here, Jesus redirects. This rather glorious bush is big enough to make a humble and a relaxed and a happy home, a safe and a refreshing nesting place for the little creatures. That's where God's eye is at, on the sparrow. Life with God is concerned less with what the mighty empire is doing. Empires are always going to be doing what empires will. I'm not here to overthrow Rome, Jesus says, at least not the way that you're thinking. Here's where the real game is, says Jesus. How concerned God's people are for sheltering the little ones. And that game is won by growing the volume of people who are lifting up their voices for that life, rolling up their sleeves and needing and creating an incubator for a rising up. Once again, yeast is a small grain that multiplies, and what we have is enough. Jesus has been on that theme for a few weeks now, trying to teach us about God's own expansive, growing ways among us. But on the other hand, if you dig into it, 3 measures of flour now, that is a huge amount. God, it turns out, is like a woman who is baking for a crowd. Leavening that much flour would yield about 150 loaves of bread. Now, if you're going for an abundant and hearty meal, the disciples might have been more interested in hearing that the rule of God was like a liege lord who assembled all his subjects for a fabulous pig roast with generous tankards of mead and ale. But no, it's a simple meal of the staff of life, but in generous proportions, as though a crowd is expected at Cafe Emmanuel or at our Zoom worship. We've heard about those 3 measures of flour in an old story we heard earlier this summer, the one where Abraham sees those 3 strangers appear in his oasis at the Oaks of Mamre. And he goes running into the tent to tell Sarah to get 3 measures of flour ready for baking bread, enough for the small crowd to yield 150 loaves. Do you remember what those three strangers were there for? To bring news from God that Sarah would have a child, through which not only Abraham, but all peoples would be blessed. What do you think Jesus is getting at here by suggesting that the kingdom of God is like a woman who gets three measures of flour ready and bakes for a crowd in the midst of the good news of a child being born as a blessing for all? What do you think the disciples made of this story later, after Jesus took and blessed and broke bread and told them that he was the bread of life and his body would be food for the world? So, the kingdom of God is small but abundant. It's generous but basic to life. In that, this is exactly the time for smaller congregations. It's not about size as in earthly empires, but size in expecting a crowd, being nimble, and being ready with a faith that feeds the strangers coming our way. Okay, maybe I've got a handle on that. And I would like to stop there today, but Jesus doesn't. He wants it to get all gathered up now so that the ways of God are now like a big net that just scoops up everything. The net doesn't discriminate. It just puts it out there and lets what come, come. Fish of every kind. And once again, we want to know why Jesus would be advocating for that, just letting the seed fall where we know full well the word has no chance, just letting those weeds grow up with the good and the righteous wheat, and now these indiscriminate fish gathered up without any sensible regard. And once again, we get a glimpse of God's wide open arms of grace. God's wild and hopeful and risky desire that the whole world will come to God. Like the disciples, we are impatient. We long for evil empires to be crushed with God's shock and awe, not with talk of glorious shrubbery. We want those weeds of evil infesting our world and those bad fish that are sticking up the joint, we want them out of here. Paul gives us a whole list of them. Here's one. How about the power and sting of death? Or what life throws at us for that matter? Rulers, bosses, the powers that be, pandemics, being right at the top of that list. Poverty, disparate social determinants of health, including environmental concerns, and the cruelties of cancer and ALS and MS and aging, again, you can name it. While we want to separate these things from our human experience, Paul reminds us that not one of them can finally separate us from the love of God, from the way of God, from life with God that we inherit in our baptisms into Christ. God is always going to be about finding a way to gather up and to grow and to sustain us. Pandemic notwithstanding. We hear from Jesus of the desire of God that the intimacy of the small and the sheltering bush will make all the difference for little ones otherwise trampled and forgotten by the empire, and that the crowds of strangers will enjoy the blessing of heavenly food, leaven, us, God's stealth plan, hidden away in the flour, is going to infect the whole shebang and raise wholesomeness and satisfaction within the world. We hear that those who stumble upon and those who discern and search for alike the value of God's ways are going to give their all for it with joy. And we see the net and all those caught up in it without even knowing what hit them. We see God's risky gamble here, God's fervent hope that the world will come to wholeness and evil will be subsumed, and the power that comes with love. God gives us chance after chance after chance. That is the way of God come among us in Jesus. Jesus promises that he's going to give it to the end of the day so the whole world might be made whole and well in God's love and get roped up into the project of God's loving and sustaining nurture for the least of these. But at the end of the day, we are going to live free of the evils of this world. We will be citizens of a kingdom where there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more crying, no more dying, no more violence, no more despair, no more injustices, no more fear, no more crushing poverty, just light and love and blessed peace and the face of God to shine on us forever, like those sunflowers we saw at the beginning of the service today. God promises we live in that hope, that life, that love now and forever. And Jesus asks the disciples if they understand all this. Yes, they say, yes, Lord. I'm not so sure, but I hope that you heard something old today. The old story of God's love and the miracle that this love is enough to sustain worried lives and wearied hearts and small congregations in unity in the midst of God's diversity. And I also hope that you've heard something new, a living word for our world today of a shelter and an abundance and the joy of giving all we have for the treasure of our life with God. And God's risky, wild love that invites the stranger in. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Pastor Kim Beckman and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And again, we welcome you to join our weekly online services each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Go to emmanuelevanston.org/events. And thanks for listening.